Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
When somebody you love is diagnosed with cancer, it can often be so hard to know what to say to the person. And I'm sure many of you have had that experience and you felt extremely awkward about even actually getting in touch with your friend or family member who's maybe been diagnosed. But Donna Kelly is with me on the line today because Donna is urging people to just very simply send that text, send the message and reach out to people after a diagnosis. Donna is with us on the line. Donna, good afternoon and thank you for taking the call today. Will you just tell us first of all a little bit about your own personal story?
Hi, Andrea. I'm 43. I'm a mum of two. I was diagnosed 3 years ago after I had found a lump in my breast, my left breast. Unfortunately, it had spread into my nose at that stage. It was stage two because I had presented 3 years earlier with nipple discharge, had a mammogram, and was told that the mammogram was clear. However, what I wasn't told at the time was that I had dense breasts. And when you have dense breasts, quite often cancer won't show up in a mammogram. But I wasn't told at the time I had dense breasts or forwarded on for other imaging. So when I found out because I had formed a lump in my breast. So that was kind of what brought me back to my GP. But following mammograms, ultrasounds and biopsies, I found out that I had two types of cancer. A lobular cancer, which doesn't present as a lump usually, and ductal cancer, which is your classic lump. So, yeah.
So you found a lump, Donna, and you went to the doctor with that.
I did, yes, yeah. And I'd had cancer for 3 years at that stage, they figured, judging by the spread of it. But it had been missed in the mammogram because I had dense breasts and because I had a form of cancer called lobular cancer that doesn't form lumps usually, you know. So
what was your treatment, your treatment route like?
So we started off having the conversation with the surgeon and initially it was going to be a single mastectomy of the affected breast, but we have a very strong history of cancer, unfortunately, in my family, and I was very aware that there could be a BRCA2 gene hanging around there somewhere. So I insisted a double mastectomy because I was not coming back. So after a couple of arguments and a few discussions around taking off a healthy breast, I had the double mastectomy. I had immediate reconstruction, and then I went on to have chemotherapy, immunotherapy, full hysterectomy, and I'm currently on endocrine therapy for the next 8 years.
Okay. You've had a long road of it, Donna.
Yes, I sure have. It's been difficult. But, you know, my program for treatment is a very common, very classic program for treatment. A lot of women who are diagnosed with breast cancer will be going through very similar to what I went through. You know, huge bouts of chemotherapy, very invasive surgeries, and then a very long program afterwards of preventing.
Yeah, it's often
recurrence.
Only the starting point.
You know,
in terms of the route that you had with all of the, you know, the medical procedures and interventions and recovery, you know, that you've gone through and I suppose really are still on as well, Donna, that journey too. Yeah. One of the things that I thought was very interesting, and I'm sure there are a lot of people maybe listening to you today that this might resonate with. Tell me about cancer ghosting.
Yeah, cancer ghosting. So I suppose it can be an uncomfortable truth for some people with cancer. And when I talk about it, I just want to be mindful of the people who did help us throughout the past 3 years, the people who helped us when they could help us, and the people who helped us who were here all the time, you know, because life doesn't stop for cancer. It carries on and people have their own things going on. So for the people who did come in and help us when they could, you know, I'm mindful that we are very grateful for them.
Mm. But when you talk about cancer ghosting, can you explain to me what you mean by that or what your experience of it was?
So cancer ghosting, it's a term that I came across when I was actually in a therapy appointment. So we get a thing called an oncologist psychologist, and they help us through our oncology treatment, you know. And I was in the pits. I was just so depressed, and I couldn't understand why I had so many friends and people I was so close to before I had been diagnosed. And here I was sitting in the throes of treatment, and I had heard from a handful of people. Like, I hadn't had any phone calls, I hadn't had any text messages, bar this handful of people, and I would have thought I had a lot of friends. But so many people didn't reach out, and I couldn't figure out why, you know.
So, and they knew, Donna, did they? They knew about your diagnosis and what you'd been through.
Yes, we live in a teeny tiny little community, so the joys of being in Ireland, news spreads fast. People did know. But like I was saying, only a handful of people reached out. So, you know, I was incredibly confused about it. And then I went to my therapist and I was like, what did I do wrong? You know, what have I asked for too much? What's going on? And she actually said to me, her words were, this is called cancer ghosting. And she said it's a very real experience for some cancer patients and that she sees it a lot more than you think. So, yeah.
And is it that people...
First time I heard of it.
Yeah, don't get in touch because they don't know what to say or that they're afraid of saying the wrong thing?
Well, we don't know. Like, it's the source of loads of different studies. You know, people do look at it. Psychologists do look at it and try and figure out what it is, you know. And so... You know, some people say because people are uncomfortable and they don't know what to say, or, you know, maybe some people, you know, when you hear the word cancer, you think, how long do they have left to live? Thankfully, that's not the way it is now. But, you know, is it uncomfortableness about death and the possibility of death? The word uncomfortable is the one that just keeps coming to mind. And I don't know. I suppose, and like the whole name explains exactly what it is, I suppose, as well. Yeah. You know, ghosting. They don't reach out afterwards to tell you why this happened. So,
and did they come back into your life at all?
No,
in
not
later
so far.
Years. No.
And, well, you see, I can only speak from my own experience, and I'm 3 years into my journey. I hate that word, but it's the only word that
I know.
We have.
I know.
So for us, no, they haven't. They haven't come back yet.
At the time when you sort of noticed this and you know, it became more and more common or apparent, I suppose, with various different friends, Donna, was it a feeling of isolation for you?
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a feeling of isolation for the person with the diagnosis, but also for the carers.
As well, that it's just people, maybe that people find it difficult to know what to say or how to reach out.
So the person who has been diagnosed is feeling isolated, but the people who are caring for that person are also feeling isolated because... You know, their lives need to go on as well. They have college, they have jobs, you've got to mow the lawn, you have to bring out the bins, you have to do the shopping, you have to do all the hospital appointments, all these kind of things. So it's not just the person who's been diagnosed who's struggling and suffering because of this cancer ghosting. It's the people who are directly involved in their care as well, you know, and have to carry all the extra burden. So
you're sort of encouraging people, I suppose, Donna, really to reach out, isn't it? And to send that text, as you say.
Well, this is it. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, we all have uncomfortable feelings. And as human beings, we don't like being in uncomfortable situations and we try and avoid them. And that's, you know, that's okay. But, you know, it's really not about you and your uncomfortable feeling. It's about the person who's been diagnosed and their immediate family and what they're going through. You know, being diagnosed with cancer is a trauma. And they really need you to be there. And you don't need to come along and, you know, try and fix it or to try and make it better, because you can't fix it and you can't make it better. You know, you don't need to send this wonderful text message or make this amazing phone call.
Or cards or flowers, you can just...
Yes, and you don't need all these wonderful, inspiring words, you know. it's not necessary. Yeah. You just need to send a text message or make the phone call. And, you know, if you're confused about what to say or if you're feeling uncomfortable, you know, something as simple as, you know, I heard your news, I'm sorry. Do you want to talk about it?
You know, how are you doing? I hope you're okay. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about it even? It's such a great one, because the person who's been diagnosed may turn around and say, yeah, I do. I need to get this off my chest. Or absolutely, no, I do not. I need you to tell me how work is going, because I need to talk about anything except cancer.
Anything but this. It seems like such a simple message, you know, Donna, to give people. But I know that's why you wanted to talk about it today, because you just wanted to share your experience. And like, even just for people who maybe do feel uncomfortable, just take Donna's advice, reach out, send the text, pick up the phone, say hello, ask how they're doing. And you don't know, I suppose it could do a world of difference for somebody going through the treatment that Donna Kelly's going through at the moment. Donna, listen, thanks a million for joining us on the show today. Lunchtime Live at newstalk.com, as always, that's the email address if you want to get in touch, if you want to share your story or your experience with me.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.